Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sports Performance Radio Show, where you'll be entertained, educated, and motivated by top experts in a variety of fields, including sports, business, and fitness. Your host, Chris Thomas, is a speaker, certified mind performance consultant, personal trainer, sports and remedial massage therapist, and author of 6 Days to a Champion's Mindset. He wants to help you win. To learn about Chris, log on to u2-mindbodyfitness.co.uk. Who's your special guest this week, Chris?
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this edition of the Sports Performance Radio Show, where we talk to elite athletes about their sport and the type of mental skills they use to achieve their outcomes. And I'm your host, Chris Thomas. Today we talk to Maggie Alfonsi. Maggie is an England and Saracens rugby star who reached her 25th try landmark for England in glorious style during the 10-0 triumph over the world champions New Zealand at Twickenham. Maggie has won 63 England caps and works as a talent development officer for the RFUW in London and the South East. Her other scoring exploits include 2 touchdowns off the bench against Scotland in mid-March last year, and others against the United States and 3 against Canada in the Nations Cup the following August. She says that her own goal is that England be regarded as the best team in the world by winning the WRWC. She says, "My personal targets are to work hard to maintain my position in the squad and be recognized for my ability as a rugby player. Outside the game," she says, My aim is to become an events manager and plan and organise big sporting occasions. She has captained the Saracens and was a member of their Premiership winning team for 4 consecutive seasons starting in 2006 and has been a member of the Triumph for England side in the Six Nations for 6 years. Maggie, welcome to the show. Well, we're waiting for Maggie to actually come online. So if you just bear with us just a few seconds, we're going to see if we can get hold of her right now.
Discover today how you too can become a qualified mind performance consultant. We run courses regularly throughout the whole year. Visit www.u2-mindbodyfitness.co.uk and call 020-8816-7973. On completion of the course, you qualify as both a sports and general mind performance consultant and receive not 1 but 2 certificates respectively. Call 0208-816-7973 today. Help others improve their sport and personal goals. Visit the website today and check the dates for our upcoming courses or call 0208-816-7973. U2 Mind Body Fitness. The psychology of language, achievement, and change.
Well, folks, sorry about the delay. We finally do have Maggie on the line. There's some technical difficulties there, but as it is a live show, we have to put up with these things and tests our patience, et cetera, but we're patient people here, so we're all good now. Maggie, we hope that it's you on the line right now.
Yeah, it's me on the line. Sorry about that.
Hey, no problem. No problem at all. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. Yeah, just got back from a work thing in a camp. So, now quite happy and relaxed.
Good. Sunday should be relaxed, right?
Oh, they should be. Not for me, unfortunately.
So, Maggie, how did you get started in rugby?
Well, I got started in rugby via my secondary school. So I went to Salisbury Secondary School back in North London. And basically, I just got into it via my PE teacher, really. I took up the sport, and not really a lot of girls played it. And because I did it like football, I did a bit of athletics. And, you know, my PE teacher being a female, and I said, look, I think you'd be a perfect match for rugby. So go down to your local rugby club. So I did that. Went down to Saracens, and I absolutely loved it. It was pretty much one of those sports where you love it or you hate it. And at a young age, I truly grew to it. And, that's how I really kind of pretty much got started, really, at the age of 14 years old.
Yeah, I like the way you say you love it or you hate it. That was my relationship with cricket, believe it or not. I didn't like cricket. Even though I was really fast and I could get loads of runs, I just didn't like it. So I never ever even. Yeah, I didn't even entertain the idea of going into it. But, yeah. When I read out your bio there, you've achieved much. Looking back in the past, what experience do you reflect on to give you the motivation and force to continue in rugby?
I think for me, you know, I think my experiences I've really kind of had over the years has been where I've lost in big events. So, you know, I've been in two World Cup finals. So in 2006, we played New Zealand in the final in Canada. And then in 2010, again, New Zealand in the final. And we lost, unfortunately, just by 3 points this time. And those are the experiences which I think I've taken away, and it's made me much stronger as an athlete and as a person individually. You know, you learn how to handle expectation and pressure, and you learn how to, you know, control your own mind and what your expectations are. But also, you know, I learned a bit about failure and what it takes, you know, to bounce back. But also, you know, I also learned what it takes to be strong and train hard and come up against competition, which is, you know, not just without as an opposition, but within your own team to be the best that you can be as an individual. And so those are the kind of things which I've taken away and I think has made me stronger as an athlete and also going forward to the future.
Yeah, it's interesting how you say you know, you've experienced failure, so that's also developed you as a person. And there is a saying that there's no such thing as failure, only results and feedback, which is very true. But like you say, you don't want to ignore the failures because these are the things that you can build on and they give you experience and sometimes give you you know, slap on the face to say, hey, right, you know, didn't do it well this time, so you can try a different way of doing it for next time.
Yeah, oh, massively. I think you just take things away and you go, okay, right, that's a plan which didn't work initially, but actually how do I take it forward to make myself better? So I think sometimes you have to have failure to become better because you probably learn, it's like a trial and error experience, and you learn from that and you think, okay, right, what about next time? And hopefully next time the result is potentially a little bit better.
Okay. What's important to you about your sport and life?
The thing that's important to me about my sport in life, I think it's, for me, which has been, I guess, quite beneficial, is actually with my sport. I like the fact that actually it doesn't matter what size you are, you know, what shape, whatever you are, you can play the sport. And yeah, those are the kind of things which I think I've taken forward into life and when I work with other people at different age groups. You know, I emphasize the fact that it's pretty much, if you want to achieve it, doesn't matter what, you know, where you've come from or what you know, your current background is, or shape or size and so on, you can go and achieve it. And when I go around and talk in schools at the moment, you know, those are the kind of things which I feel are, you know, core values and something which rugby kind of stands for and a lot of other sports stand for as well. It's the whole, you know, it's the additional things which come out of the sport, not just the sport itself, which is what helps those individuals become better people. And that's the kind of thing I kind of talk about when I go and talk into schools. And obviously, you know, the youngsters coming through the programme who want to play for England one day, you know, I kind of emphasise to them, you know, you get a lot out of the sport, which hopefully makes you a better person.
Yeah, one thing I did, I mean, I met you at this networking event in the Welsh Centre, and the room full of rugby players and agents and managers and people just involved in rugby, and it was quite evident what they said about the differences between, say, a rugby and football. I'm not talking about the actual sports, but the supporters and the way it's played, and there just seems to be a difference between the crowd. Like, it's less violent, less animosity towards your opponents. Would you say that's very true? And why is that? Why is there such a big difference?
It's difficult because I can't really talk for football because I guess I've never really been a huge follower of the game, so I haven't gone in to watch many football matches. But, I mean, in regards to rugby, all I know is that as long as I've been in the sport for the last 20 or so years, it's been very much purely based on the fans have been fantastic. So I played in front of very good fans. Also, I've gone to watch rugby since I was young, since I got into the sport. And I think the things which which made me want to keep coming back was the fact that it was very welcoming. The fans have always been very supportive, whatever side you're looking at or supporting. And also, it's kind of like one of those sports which a lot of people do say, you know, that people just get on with it, and it's always professional in the respect that after the game, everyone's it's shaking hands, and same with the fans. The fans just love the sport. It's just passion for the sport, and you know, the support for whatever team is playing. And many times I've been to rugby matches where I'm sitting next to someone who doesn't really follow either team which is on the pitch, but they're just looking forward to watching a good game of rugby. And that's kind of like the big thing, I think, about the sport. And a lot of fans just support the people who are on the pitch and the actual sport itself. But that's my experience from rugby. And you know, I think other sports are really in that world as well. And you start to see it a bit more when you watch, i.e. tennis, where it was great just to see the final and how reactive the fans are of both opponents. So those are the kind of things which I think, you know, certain sports like that really bring to it. But, in regards to other sports, I guess probably couldn't talk so much. But in rugby, I think we've got a very good following and a very passionate fans, generally.
Rugby is I hope you agree that it's a very mental game, full focus all the time. What mental skills do you use to help you achieve what you do achieve?
Something I'm very big on is affirmation. So I tend to, you know, I guess people like to call it self-talk or just talking to myself, full stop. And I'm kind of a massive fan of things like that, where I guess a role model to me was Muhammad Ali. When he was coming to me, when he was a big primetime boxer back in those days, you know, one of the things he used to always do is pretty much, you know, he believed he was the best. And at times when he may compete against people who are a little bit stronger than him, he still talked himself up to believe that he was the best. And that's something I probably try and follow as an athlete myself. So as long as you talk yourself up to believe that you are the best, then when you go on that pitch or come up against that opponent, you will be the best, because your mind has already been taught to believe that. And that's what I kind of tend to stick with. I always work by that way, and I think the best athletes in the world have stronger minds, not necessarily always just the physical athlete. So those are the kind of things I use. I also use a lot of imagery, so I tend to visualise what I'm about to do before I play. People like to listen to music, so music works for me, but also I like to watch montages on YouTube of American football players making big hits or making a nice run or spinning round or doing a handoff and that sort of thing, which kind of is the visualisation in my mind, which makes me want to go in when I go and play. You can see it.
Okay, I like the way you quoted Muhammad Ali. I think there's a quote that he gave once, which says something like, the person that will beat me will be fast and strong and hasn't been born yet. So that was his kind of positive attitude that he had, which I really find quite funny.
I love that.
Talking about the sort of mental rehearsal, is this something that you say you do it just before a game? Is this something that you involve in your training as well? Is this something that is highly recommended in rugby?
Yeah, I totally believe. I think one of the things which a lot of sports are now starting to really focus on and actually use part of their training, because I think people realise and recognise strength and conditioning is an important part of your training. Seeing physiotherapist is an important part of your development, and having a coach to train you is an important part. But sometimes there's forgetting factor that actually psychology is also very important. And the psychology work I do behind the scenes helps me become a better athlete as well. It gives you that extra 10%, I always feel. So I might not necessarily do something every day or every week, but it's little things which kind of keep ticking over just to remind me of what my focuses are and I guess bring me back to where I want to go. So visualisation is something I do a lot of. Like I said, I watch a lot of videos to kind of keep me focused, I guess. And like I said, I continually do a lot of... I read a lot of quotes from a variety of top athletes, because those are things, again, which kind of just inspire me a little bit further. So it might not for me necessarily be very formal in regards to the psychology training I do, but it's those little bits which help me make me a better athlete, I think, personally.
Yeah. It's funny. I mean, in the UK, I think it's taken us a bit longer to really see the benefits of, you know, a mental skills coach, sports psychologist, or whoever the person sees. Why do you think that has? I'm just asking for your opinion here. Why do you think that it's taken so long for us to catch on to this really very important part of an athlete's training?
I think it's probably taken a while to catch on. It's more because of the fact, I guess, it's perception and what psychology was perceived to be. I guess a lot of sports may perceive the actual psychology to be something more. If you need to use it, you're probably a bit weak. Or if you need to use it, there's something wrong with you. And actually, it's probably the opposite. If you're using it, you're just helping yourself get stronger, and actually you're identifying areas where it can help you make you a better athlete. I think, and that's been the issue, is trying to change people's perceptions of actually the benefit of using or having psychology training. And it's been quite a big thing in our sport, and a lot of our squad members have psychology sessions. And actually, it makes a big difference, just because, you know, if you can change your mind, you can change your perceptions of yourself. Because it makes huge, you know, huge impact on that. And I think what's been quite nice is watching other sports and how psychology has become so important, has impact on a lot of athletes' ability. And it's not just general sports. It's like lots of big names who are now using it. And Tiger Woods is a good example. He uses psychology quite regularly. And that, those are things which change people's attitudes, because they go, if he uses it, well, you know, I should be using it as well.
Yeah, and the important thing about using psychology is it gives you choice of behavior, a choice of decisions, which gives you flexibility. And the one with the greater flexibility, especially, I mean, in sport, is going to have the upper hand. And it's really important to have that as well, isn't it? What I was going to ask you is, what difficult factors have you overcome in the past in pursuit of your sport? Is there anything that springs to your mind in particular?
Yeah, I think probably two things. I think the first thing, everyone, for a lot of athletes, is injuries. I've had many injuries along my way, and those have been they've been hard. I think people take for granted what an injury is. They just assume it's something which stops you for a short period of time, and then you start again. For an athlete at an elite level, an injury can mean anything. It can mean you're out for a very long time and someone else fills your spot. It could be the end of your career. So those are quite big things, and the unfortunate thing with injuries is that you just don't see it coming. So those have been one of my biggest challenges. I've had quite a few severe injuries, and, you know, I'm constantly feel like I'm battling against an injury, because you're always in the best shape. As you know, I guess every athlete is trying to be in the best shape as possible, but you just can't control injuries, some of them anyway. But so that's probably been one of my biggest things. And then my second, I guess, biggest challenge to overcome is actually, you know, I guess I'm potentially some people getting a little bit older, and there are some other younger people coming through, and the challenge is being the best that you can be for as long as possible. That's really hard, and I'm very lucky. I've achieved a lot of big things, and I'm very thankful of that. The hardest thing is actually trying to maintain, you know, being at the top and maintain, hopefully keeping your shirt, because there's so many good people coming through, and, you know, all you can do is hopefully keep working hard and using their motivation to inspire you to push on further. Those are the big challenges, which, you know, I think sometimes it can be perceived that it's easy, but it's not. I guess elite level sport is never easy. I guess if it was, everyone would have had that opportunity. So, those are the kind of things which I felt like have been personally the two biggest challenges of my rugby career.
Okay. And I'm sure these are the sentiments that you take along to when you speak to schools, organisations. Just out of interest, what is the uptake of female participation in rugby? Because I guess to some it might seem like it's a bit too much of a rough sport or for females, which is absolutely rubbish. But when you go to speak to them, how are you received?
Actually quite well received. So when I start with a lot of my presentations is, who am I? So I normally have a picture, and it's a picture of myself, and as a big capital letters, who am I? And generally, I start with that, and what I tend to do after that is just say, okay, right, I'm going to show you a quick video clip of women's rugby and the sport that I play and the level that I play at. And it's quite funny. I start the presentation, no one generally knows who I am. They've invited me to come into the talk, And usually I show the video clip and all of a sudden it's kind of like, wow, I've never seen women's rugby on TV before. I've never seen it played at a decent level. I didn't know women could hit or pass the ball at such a good standard or kick the ball at such a good standard. They see the video clip and all of a sudden it's kind of like, wow. And it's a different level of respect all of a sudden from just being one person standing up saying who I am to, wow, that's a great sport. That's a really good level. I'm really impressed with what women can do. And then my presentation is all about women's rugby and how it's developed. But then I tell them about obviously what I've achieved and actually where women's rugby is going in the future and how exciting it is now that we're in the Olympics and so on. So, and that's how I tend to do my presentations. But what's really good is that it is very well received, because at the end of it, I always get a load of people come up and ask me about, wow, how do I get into women's rugby? Or I'm really inspired by the fact that you're playing women's rugby. My daughter plays football, or she does cricket, and I want her to continue. But she doesn't want to because she's worried about how she's perceived to the boys and the other girls in her class. So those are the kind of things which motivate me and show to me that I get a very good response from the people who are listening.
Well, thank you, Maggie. It's really interesting, and I love that how the response that you get when you are going around and speaking to these people. Maggie, it's been fascinating to speak to you, and thank you very much for coming onto the show. We've really, really had an insight into the mind of a rugby player, one who has achieved so much in their life as you, and we truly do appreciate you coming onto the show. How can people, or where can people go to find out more about you?
More about me, I guess the best thing to do, if they want to get involved in women's rugby and find out more about me and get in touch with me, the best thing I'd say is get on our RFU website, which is www.rfutbolyouthunion.com. And that would be the best way of getting on finding about women's rugby and finding about me and when our next pictures are coming up. And that will help them to hopefully come along and get more people watching women's rugby.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Once again, thank you, Maggie,
thank you for
coming to the show today and spending time with us.
Thank you very much. It's an absolute pleasure. Sorry.
Oh, no, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Today we've been speaking to Maggie Alfonsi, who is an England and Saracens rugby star. And Maggie has achieved much in her years in rugby and continues to do so, and has many great goals for the future as well in her pursuit, in her sport. You've been listening to the Sports Performance Show. Thank you very much, and tune in next time when we'll be speaking to another elite athlete about their sport and the mental skills they use to achieve what they do. Thank you and goodbye.